Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was still very dark this morning when I realized that this is indeed the first Sunday of a new year. I couldn't help but my mind went back to the year 1967 when I for the first time had the great honor and privilege to step into a pulpit of a church of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I recalled this morning the fear. It was fear because one of my professors was sitting there. Expectation, dreams, hopes. And I realized it's almost a half century later now. And time and again I find at the beginning of a year that it is good that God wants us to rededicate ourselves to God's service. I did so this morning. Before I call unto you, each and every one of you, let us make this the best year ever. Let us serve God with all our heart. Not only us, but the entire world is going through tough economic times. So many hours every week currently goes into trying to make ends meet for our church. It's no secret. We are suffering as all the others do. But we have a faithful God, a God who would guide us and lead us. And I can assure you, even if we have to hold our service on the beach, this church shall be God's church in the year of our Lord, 2009. Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke 18, the verses 9 through 17. It's the story of the tax man and the Pharisee. He told his next story to some who were complacently pleased with themselves over their moral performance and looked down their noses at the common people. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax man. The Pharisee posed and prayed like this: O God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, crooks, adulterers, or, heaven forbid, like this tax man. I fast twice a week and tithe on all my income. Meanwhile, the tax man slumped in the shadows, his face in his hands, not daring to look up, said, God, give mercy. Forgive me, a sinner. Jesus commented, this tax man, not the other, went home made right with God. If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. People brought babies to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they shooed them off. Jesus called them back. Let these children alone. Don't get between them and me. These children are the kingdom's pride and joy. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. Here ends the reading. May God help us to really understand and apply God's will to our lives. All of us know the name of John Wesley. Now, John Wesley, of course, is the founder of the Methodist Church. And he is still honored after many, many years for beginning such a fine church. And some even talk about the Wesleyan Church. And this John was a most humble man. And long ago, he was walking along a narrow path, and then he came across a parishioner who really disliked him. And the man took his opportunity, finding the preacher alone, and he said to Wesley, "I never step aside for a fool." Wesley replied, "Well, I always do." And he stepped aside. I thought that was so great. And who will ever forget how boastful and arrogant Muhammad Ali was during his boxing days. So during those days, he was about to take off on an airplane flight, and the flight attendant came up and reminded him that he had to fasten his seatbelt before they could move. But Ali came back brashly, and he said to her, "Look here, Superman doesn't need a seatbelt." Stewardess looked at him and retorted, saying, "Well, Superman doesn't need an airplane either." Ali quickly fastened his belt. Jesus tells a delightful story of two people arriving at church for a prayer meeting. You remember the prayer meetings of the old days? Our older people do. I certainly do. Because every Wednesday evening, we had to hold a prayer meeting. And that was not difficult then. I still miss them today. Because that's where God's faithful people came on a Wednesday evening, and where we not only spoke about the greatness of God, but people in those days would get up and participate in a prayer meeting. Beautiful, wonderful memories of a prayer meeting. Jesus talks about a prayer meeting. And two men arrived at church for this meeting. And these two were so far apart, so different. One was a Pharisee, and he was one of the establishment. He was well respected, very religious, and he was out there setting a good example to everyone. Other one was exactly the opposite. He was a despised tax collector for the Romans. So without even knowing him, many people considered him a traitor and a thief. Now Jesus says that one marched straight up to the altar, perfect for a photo opportunity. Now, if it was our church, I can imagine that he would have chosen to come through the back door, because then you can walk all the way down the aisle and people can have a good look at you, and those with cameras can even take a picture of you. And so he spread his colorful robe and walked up. When he got to the proper position, he cleared his throat and he said out loud, "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, crooks, adulterers, or heaven forbid, like this tax man." I think he did that because the side door was where the tax man came in. Why? Because he didn't want to be noticed. He just wanted to find a place where he could be private. And as he was walking up, he wasn't looking around. Jesus says he was beating his breast like this. And if you think that's just coincidence, he did. Now, this is just a story, but they did in those days. When did you beat your breast? Whenever you sought to be in the presence of God. Every time when you realize that you have hurt somebody, that you've done something wrong, that you've sinned again. 2,000 years ago, you would go to the temple, and when you walk, you will beat your breast, and everybody will know that you are sorry and that you're underway to go and tell God, to confess to God that you were wrong. His prayer sounded a bit different. I can't even believe that he would say it out loud. He simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's now centuries later. We live in a different land, in a different culture, but nothing has changed. You can still observe these two kinds of people in times of worship or wherever people gather. You will notice them in Cocoa Beach. You'll notice them in Rockledge and Orlando. You'll notice them everywhere. I noticed them, obviously. I served in different countries, different languages, different cultures. And I can assure you, nothing is different. People are the same. Pride and humility, the two opposites, still live side by side in the same house, in the same school, or in the same church. Now, this tax man, this tax collector, obviously has something that the Pharisee badly needed. I was trying to find a word for it, and the best I could come up with to say, this tax collector had the gift of inadequacy. He was someone who realized his incompleteness and his need for forgiveness and God's grace. When I thought about this, I realized that God's people that I've met everywhere, the people who had the most right to be seen, to be noticed, and to be photographed, and to be up front, would never have been there because they didn't want to be seen. People with the gift of inadequacy is sometimes people who are most gifted. Because the more gifted you are, the more responsibility you have. People who are gifted by God. And it's a talent that they have to do something with. But before God, we always remain inadequate. Small, waiting, pleading. Lead us, O God. By your Spirit. God does lead by God's Spirit. You won't hear a voice, but I dare you to seek God's Spirit willfully, prayerfully, and you will discover that God is with you, that He never left. You may have been so busy that you didn't notice. But the moment when you reach out, God says, here I am, my child. And even though you are weak, I am strong. And even though you are stumbling, I will hold you up. And Jesus tells us that that inadequacy is a necessary prelude to grace. If you want to sing about God's amazing grace, be humble. Be humble. Come to God inadequate, and you will be filled not with yourself, but with the Spirit of God. Your life will never be the same again. Without that sense of inadequacy, the Pharisee's beautiful prayer was nothing but empty words. You cannot pray with words without putting your heart into it. Filled with a sincere sense of unworthiness, this poor sinners like we all are, pleas for mercy, I believe, echoed their way right to the heart of God. Now don't get me wrong. The Pharisee was otherwise a good, outstanding citizen. He was indeed the type of person that we would be proud to have as a part of our community and our church. He enjoyed the work he did. He participated in the activities of the church. And I think he was actually also thanking God that he was able to perform his duties, because that's a gift. And our older people, I'm beginning to include myself, we do know that it's a gift sometimes when you come up to church and to say, thank you God that I can be there today, that I could get out of bed, that I could get dressed, that I could be ready. And people have told me at the door, it wasn't easy to get here, but thank God I came. It was worth it. I think he was a good guy. But he never realized that something was wrong. Desperately wrong. He just didn't get it. He thought that one could win God's favor by your talents and your accomplishments. He didn't even realize that he was alienating himself from God. He was alienating himself from other people with his brash attitude. He was so full of himself that there was no place, no obvious need for God left. And even when he entered God's house, he acted as if he owned the place. The Pharisee failed to realize that we draw closer to God and to others when we are able to admit our shortcomings, relying on God's grace. Friends, let's say that to one another. We are all sinners. Nowadays, people shy away from saying this from a pulpit. I don't know why. When I was a child, and many of you were, sometimes you had to duck, or you thought the minister was looking you straight in the eyes. We had one of those. We've all sinned. And let me tell you a secret. I know, the guy in the pulpit as well. We all fall short of the glory of God. In 1 John, we find this verse. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Understanding our inadequacy is a prelude to grace. And this tax collector was indeed aware of and ashamed of the life he lived. He was not innocent, don't get me wrong. He was as guilty as the Pharisee. It had to do with his attitude. He would not even look up to heaven. And when he prayed, he didn't call any attention to himself, but rather to his sins. He wasn't talking about his accomplishments. He was talking about his needs. He was confessing his needs. And when he prayed, Jesus says God heard his prayer. And in the story of Jesus, the tax collector was touched and was changed because he confessed his needs before God. There is truth in the saying, there is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it ill behooves any one of us to find fault with the rest of us. Some people put on their holier-than-thou expressions and let people think that they have it all together. Many people out there in the world have told me, and I'm sure you heard it, that church people are a bunch of hypocrites. Have you heard that? I've heard that throughout my life, not only here, in other countries too. We're not. We are not. Oh, how we need God. Oh, how we need God. That's why we come. Let them not write us off as super saints. And let us share with them that we share the need for God in Jesus Christ in our lives. Tell them to look around us. At us, no one has a harp. No one has a halo. No one has a set of wings. The church is a wellness center where people come to get well and stay strong so that they can take on life and its many challenges. The church is not a museum for saints. On this first Sunday of a new yet unknown year, some came to celebrate the table of the Lord because they feel the need to confess their needs and shortcomings, because they are seeking God's amazing grace in their lives. They come here Sunday after Sunday, not to trumpet their accomplishments, but to confess their needs. Their prayer comes from deep within. God, give mercy. Forgive me, a sinner. Is that what you're praying this morning? I can't see in your heart, but God can. But I can tell you one thing, that if your prayer this morning is, God, give mercy, you will receive mercy. And if your prayer is, forgive me, I'm a sinner, you shall be forgiven. So says Jesus. Come then, the table of grace, forgiveness and mercy is now prepared for you. Amen.